Are we there? Hey, there we go. My dear friends in Christ, it is wonderful that we are gathered together on this beautiful day to spend some time in the presence of our God and to receive from him all that he has for us today. And at the beginning of the service today, we have a baptism. And so God's got some special gifts for one particular little one today. So if you guys would come forward at this time, let us begin. And Casey, you have to come up too. Okay. I haven't seen you for a while, so I have to call you out in front of everybody. It's just how it goes. Exactly. Come on up, Mr. Wesley. All right, baptism. What an amazing gift that God has given us. You know, we know that we are saved by faith. And we are saved because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that by faith we receive the gift of salvation. And the question that we all have then is, well, what about babies? How in the world are they saved, right? And God has a plan, because, you know, God actually really loves every single person, and probably especially even the little ones. And his plan for them is this. He gives us this gift of baptism. And the gift of baptism is the time that God works through water and his word to bring faith into the heart of a child. And you ask, can a baby have faith? And we know the baby can, mostly because the Bible says so, that the little ones can have faith. In fact, their faith is an example to ours. And so as this child is going to be adopted into the family of God, and as this this little one is going to be the child of the king, that gives you guys some responsibility. Your job, just like with little Wesley, is to bring him up in the faith, to teach him what his Jesus did for him, to help him to grow and learn as he is able to grow and learn, so that the faith that is begun today gains content, gains substance, so that as he lives his life, he can live in the peace of knowing that his sins are covered and that the God of all creation walks with him and provides for him every day of his life. Are you willing and able to do this?
Yes.
Outstanding. Sponsors, you ready? Your job is this. These two are awesome parents, but all people are weak, right? And anybody can be distracted. Anybody can forget the most important things. And this little one, he's going to need a lot of prayer and help throughout his life. He's a male. Every adult male is a miracle. We know this, right? Yeah. He's going to make all kinds of decisions and do all kinds of things throughout his life that are going to require intense prayer. Be behind his parents praying for little Carter as he continues to grow. And support him in every way possible. And if his parents begin to lose focus of what's most important and Carter's not getting the attention and the spiritual growth and discipleship that he needs, gently hold his parents accountable so that Carter will get all that he needs in this life. Are you willing to do this? Outstanding. With that, I get to hold a baby. Little Carter. Receive the sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your heart, marking you as one redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Carter Sutton Corbett, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He did good. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this precious child, Lord, and the faith that you put in him today. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow him every day, Lord. Help him to love and trust in you more so that he can have the comfort of your peace, Lord, the peace with the Father and the peace of knowing that you walk with him every day of his life. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your name we pray. Amen. Outstanding. And so as he is brought into the family of God, we would light this candle, signifying the faith that God has put in him this morning. I encourage you guys to use this candle as often as you can, at least once a year. Stick it right in the middle of his birthday cake. Let him know that, yes, he was born one day, but on this day, he was reborn and made a child of God. And so let me be the first to introduce the youngest child in the kingdom of God. All right. And I'll give him back. He did great. I'm so impressed. That is wonderful. All right, you guys can have a seat at this time then. Afterward, I do have certificates for you and such. Please stand. The gift of baptism is an amazing thing. The idea of conversion is an amazing thing, right? The idea that we come before God as unbelievers, as people who would prefer to worship ourselves, not to give our lives to someone else, but then the Spirit comes and changes us and makes us new, makes us into something we weren't before, makes us into a child of the King and one who wants to serve him with everything we have. And so as we remember the day that we ourselves were baptized and brought into the family of God, let us begin our service in his name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have that you have made Carter your own this morning, Lord, and that we remember that all of us have gone through that same baptism, Lord, that we have been brought into this relationship with you, Lord, where we receive from you all that we need through the faith that the Holy Spirit places in us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to grow in this faith this morning, Lord, as we spend time in your presence and in your word. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen. My friends, it is now time for us to confess our sins. We come before our Father in heaven, and we have failed this week, as we often do. And so let's confess our sins so that we can be forgiven. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. And as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We adore you.
joyful, joyful, we adore you.
Good morning. My name is Kevin Chegg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, so your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon text for today is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. All right, kids, it is now time for the children's message. If you guys would come forward at this time. Come on down. Now, here's what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to stand all around the rail, okay? So just come on up and stand like right there. You can stand right here. Can you do it with your sisters? Not so much. Okay. Come on up. All right. Here's what we're doing. We're all standing around the rail. Now, have I mentioned that I really, really like you guys a lot? And in fact, I actually kind of really love you guys a lot. I love kids, and I love you in particular. You understand this? I love you so much, I really want to give you a gift this morning, all right? Here's how it is. Now, I'm going to give you guys a kiss, all right? Because it's like a sign of my love for you. It's like getting a kiss. Isn't that cute? Very ironic. Yeah. Anyway, but the thing is this. I'm going to give you this, but I don't want you to open it up or eat it right now, okay? Don't do that. Just take it. Ready? You ready? I'm going to give you a kiss. Don't eat it, though. Don't open it up. Don't eat it. And I'm giving this to you. Why am I giving this to you? Why am I giving this to you? No, because I love you guys. That's right. That's why I'm giving you the kiss, is because I love you guys so very much. You guys want one? No, don't eat it. That's the rules. Don't eat. Don't eat. Just look at it. Just hold it. You want one? All right. Very good. Do you want one? There you go. All right. Very good. I'll get you girls. Okay. Don't worry. I'm not going to forget you. Trust me. All right. Here we go. There we are. There we are. Don't eat it yet, okay? Mr. Isaac. There you go. Don't eat it yet. All right. Who else is there? I got more people. There we go. You like a kiss? Okay. Oh, that's for your sister. Very good. You got one? There you go. And here you go. All right. Now, here's the thing. Why did I give you guys kisses?
Because you're
because I
love her.
That's right. Because I love you. I love you so much. Now, here's the thing. Do you trust me? I mean, you do know I love you, right? I didn't have to give you a kiss in the first place. I gave you a kiss because I love you. Do you trust me?
Yes.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give me the kiss back. All right? Can you trust me and give me the kiss back? All right, here we go. Very good. Oh, that's very accurate. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys trusting me so much. This is really awesome. Oh, my goodness. He did it. All right. Very good. All right.
I kissed you, Pastor.
All right. He kissed me back. That's cute. I like that. That's good. What do you think? Oh, you guys. It's a runaway. There we go. Can you give me it back?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did. He already did. Oh, he All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for trusting me. I can't tell you how appreciated I am. Is that everybody? All right. Everybody trusted me. I can't tell you how happy that makes me. It makes me so happy that not only do you know that I love you, but you trust me to love you, and you even gave the gift back to me. Makes me so happy. So now what are we going to do?
Yay, now do we get to eat it?
What are you guys getting?
Okay.
What are you getting?
Two
kisses. Well, that's weird. I only gave you one kiss the first time. Why am I giving you two kisses now?
Thank you.
Why? Why did I give you the first kiss? Because I love you. And if I give you one kiss and I say I need it back, and then you give it back, do I still love you? And if do you think I love you enough to forgive you another kiss even more? Am I going to run out of kisses? Do I have plenty? Yeah, am I ever going to run out?
No,
I got, Miss Lauren's got more bags. I'm in good shape. All right, so here's what we got. Everybody gets two kisses. Now, let's learn about Jesus now. Why does Jesus give you guys good things? Because he loves you. What if God were to come to you and say, you know what? In order to do the things that I need to do in the world, in order to love, for me to love all the people, I need you to give me some of your stuff back. What do you think? Would you be willing to give it back to God? I mean, why did he give you the blessings in the first place? Because he loves you. Does he love you any less now? You already got it. Does he love you any less now? Do you think the God that provided for you the first time will continue to provide for you because he loves you so much, even if you have to give some of your blessings back to him sometimes? Yeah, you're so funny. All right, everybody got their two kisses? All right, so here's the big thing. If God loves us, and if God provides for us, can we trust him? Can you always trust him? And if he says, I need your stuff, I need your things, I need your blessings, I need your time, can we give it to him? Are we going to be afraid that we won't have enough? Because who's got all the stuff? God. And does he love us? And will he ever forget about us? No, of course. And so what we can do then is we can worship him and show him how much we love him by being willing to give back to him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Can we pray?
Yes.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross so that we can be saved. Thank you for giving us faith in you. Thank you for providing for us every single day. Help us, Lord, to be generous with the things that you have given us, to be a blessing to others. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, it is now time for a little worship. So anybody, if you, with permission from your parents, you guys can meet at the white cross in the back of the church there. And they'll take you away and teach you a few things. And the rest of you can stay here and I'll teach you a few things. All right. The sermon text for today. Anything interesting about it? One thing that I thought was really, really interesting was who wrote it. Who wrote it? But no, Peter. Okay. And it makes sense because this Bible verse is all about seeing things from God's point of view and putting God's point of view first. And Peter never got that wrong. Except all the time. You know, like when Jesus was talking about dying and Peter pulled him aside and said, stop talking like this. This is not what we're going to do. You are starting to scare people. When Jesus started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood and Peter pulled him aside and said, stop talking like this. You're going to scare people. You're chasing people away. This is not how you gather a following, right? And Jesus actually, with the whole, not talking about Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus kind of came back with a rather harsh answer at that time saying, get behind me, Satan, which, you know, not the kind of thing you want to hear from your Lord and Master. But Peter struggled with this. You see, Peter, he had a very specific view of how the world was supposed to be. Right? He had a very specific idea in his head of what was good and what was not good, right? And in his head, it was not good to talk about eating blood and or drinking blood and eating flesh, okay? In his head, it was not okay for Jesus to talk about suffering and dying at the hands of the Jews. In his head, he did not think it was a good idea for Jesus to do something that a slave would do and wash the disciples' feet, right? And when Jesus said that he was going to deny him three times, Peter did not think that it was a good thing for Jesus to say that and argued with Jesus about it, right? And then later he did it. And you'd think that Peter would have learned, because think about that final act. The idea of not acknowledging that Peter was a disciple of Jesus. I mean, it was a rather dramatic situation. You know, Jesus had been arrested. He was on trial. They were waiting in the courtyard, waiting to hear news from whatever was going on inside. And Peter was out in the courtyard and trying to stay warm. And the people came up to him and kept asking him, weren't you with him? Aren't you one of his disciples? Now, Peter had a choice. He could either say, yes, I am, and he very likely could have been arrested and whisked inside to be put on trial with Jesus. Or he could deny Jesus and avoid the suffering that would come, right? Avoid any kind of negative consequences to being associated with the guy that's on trial right now. And that's what he did. He did it because it seemed right. It seemed like a good idea at the time, right? Avoiding suffering, I mean, what's to gain, right? I mean, if Jesus dies, that's bad enough. If I die with him, how did that make anything better? So I may as well not tell the truth. And you can imagine how that event would shake Peter up. You know, that he denied his Lord and his Savior. That when the chips were really down, he was not faithful. And you can imagine how after that event, Peter would be absolutely firm and determined that this would never happen again. That from this point forward, I will no longer focus on what I want, but I will focus all of my energy on whatever it is that God wants. I am going to submit to him. My will be submitted to him, and I will only use my will as so far as it carries out the will of God. You know what I'm saying? That's what it means to be in submission. That God's will is all that matters, and my will does not matter at all. And I will do whatever it is that he says because he is the one who rescued me. And that he is the one who loved me. That when I had nothing, when I had no hope, he was the one who left heaven, lived on this planet, suffering at the hands of the Jews, not just at his crucifixion, but at all those stupid questions and traps that they laid for him throughout his life, all of the times that they talked behind his back, all of the times that they made his life miserable, all of the times that they persecuted even his followers, which also hurt him, all of that he put up with until it came to the time when it was time for him to die, to suffer, to take our sins upon himself, which he did willingly, even though he knew how hard it would be. That whole drama in Gethsemane, where he is praying and asking the Father if there is another way. But there wasn't another way. And so Jesus willingly carried our burden, even though there is nothing in us that deserves it. And as the rescued people of God, we have the same choice that Peter had. When things are hard, when things are challenging, when things are difficult, when things are inconvenient, we can either confess our Lord and our God and follow him, love him. And Jesus tells us, the ones who love me do what I say, right? That we would submit ourselves to God, that we would acknowledge that nothing of my will matters, only his will. That I will do whatever it takes to walk out the path that he has for me. And if it requires me to risk my own safety, my own health, if I will end up penniless, if I will end up, you know, without the basics of life, then that is what I am willing to do, because all that matters is Jesus. You want to read 1 Peter? That's what this book is about. This book is about the wholesale submission of ourselves to God and God's will. And in the text for today, he goes right into this, and he talks about it. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, we also need to be willing to suffer. It's a big deal when Jesus walked up to Peter that first time at the lake and said, follow me. Now, Peter couldn't possibly have known the depth of those words and all the content that was going to come with that. Follow me. Follow the one who came to this world to die. Follow the one who came to this world to sacrifice himself so that other people could live. Follow the one who never had a house to live in after he left his parents. That once his ministry began, he lived at the charity of the people he visited, or he slept in a field. Follow that one. Live like him. Do like him. There were times Jesus did not want to keep going, especially in Gethsemane. We just talked about it, right? If there's any other way, Father. But because there was not another way, and because it was the Father's will that he should die in our place, Jesus did it willingly. He submitted his will to the will of the Father. And that Jesus told Peter, follow me. And at some point, Peter got it. It wasn't immediate, because there was this whole little problem that Peter had with the Gentiles early in the ministry, right? I mean, it was either after Jesus, Peter gave that amazing sermon at Pentecost, right? That amazing sermon, and 2,000 or 3,000 people were added to the church that very day, and those people went all throughout the world spreading the message of Christ, and God worked through Peter in this amazingly powerful way. But it wasn't because Peter had arrived. It was just because Peter gave a good sermon, the Spirit talks through him. And then later, when Peter has a dream from God and unclean food comes before him, and Jesus in the dream says, eat, and Peter said, no. Okay, is it ever okay to say no to Jesus? Did he have good intentions? Sorta. I mean, it was like unclean food. And Peter said, look, I have never eaten unclean food. I am one of the chosen people of God. I am, and one of the things that the Old Testament law says is I should not eat these things. And Jesus in the dream says, what I have made clean, you can't call unclean. And then he sent him to the house of Cornelius, and he struggled with this because Cornelius was a Gentile, and walking into a Gentile's house was a big event for a Jewish man, because, they're not clean, and I'm going to go to the place that is not clean, and if I go to the place that is not clean, I become unclean, right? Except Jesus turned that one upside down. I mean, the widow of Nain, there was the funeral procession, and Jesus was walking along, and he saw this dead kid in the coffin, and his mother was weeping, and there was no father, and this mother was a widow, and she would have nothing without a son. And a dead body is unclean. It's a very big unclean. You don't touch a dead body, or you become unclean. What did Jesus do? He walked up and he touched the body. And what happened? The young man became alive again, right? Understand what happened. Instead of the dead body making Jesus unclean, Jesus touched the body and it became clean. Well, that's pretty weird. And so God sends us into the world, or sent Peter into this house, this Cornelius, and he said, I don't want to go into the house because I'll become unclean. But instead, Jesus said, no, go. He went, he's preached the gospel to the people of the house, and they became saved, clean. Their sins were forgiven. Their relationship with God was restored. They were made clean. You know, we have the same problem in our life, where we have a will. And a lot of times that will is not in sync with God's will. You know what I'm saying? Just like Peter had certain ideas about what would be good, like the God should, the Son of God, the Messiah, should not serve me and wash my feet. And, the children should not be wasting the Messiah's time, right? So I'm going to chase them away. And all these times when Peter had an idea of what was right, and it was in competition, in direct conflict with what Jesus was trying to do. And we do this. We decide in our own mind what is right, how the world should look. And the world should look like this. I should be, number one, comfortable, at very least. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there shouldn't be things in my life that are causing me frustration. If there are things in my life causing me frustration, I count those things as bad. Understand? And of course, Jesus wouldn't want me to have bad things. Thus, I should not have anything in my life that makes me uncomfortable or causes me frustration. Is this from Scripture? No, actually quite the opposite. Jesus told his disciples, look, if the world treated me really badly, guess how they're going to treat you? You know? And the Jesus who came here to suffer did not count that as bad. Funny day, Good Friday, is it not? That the day that Jesus suffered and died, we call good because God called it good. Because on that day, Jesus carried out the will of the Father and we are saved. Understand that the way God sees things is not the way we see things. And that conflict really makes a big difference in our lives. Because there are days when God calls on us to be generous with the things that he has given us. And sometimes we say things like, I can't. What we mean is, if I give to whatever it is God wants me to give to, I will not have all the things that I consider good. You understand this? I will not have the comfort. I will not have the toys. I will not have the pretty things. I will not have all of these things that I have put around myself that bring glory and honor to me. I will have to lose some of them, and I consider that bad. And so if God comes to me with his good and says, I want you to participate in this good that I have, this good that I am doing in this world, that the people that need to be loved, the ministry that we are doing, the things that God is desiring to accomplish, and we decide that our comfort or our vision of the world is going to be the thing we will live by and not God's vision of the world. My will, not his. Is this a good place to be? Where we will insist upon what I want at the cost of what God is doing. And this isn't just about money. This is about time, too. I mean, you know, the things that we like to do, you know, I mean, that TV won't watch itself. You know, there's the trips to Europe or whatever. I mean, what is it that you are living for? What are you dedicating your life to? What are you bending everything else around to make it so? And is that thing in keeping with what God is trying to do in your life and in this world? Because that's all that matters. We live in a time that where we have the work of going into this world and showing God's love to help the sick, to help the poor, to help the people who are down and out for whatever reason, to help the people who are hopeless, to help the people who are struggling with loss, to help the people who all of the things that go wrong in life. And these people around us are the people that God loved enough to die for. We can't just look past them and act like they don't matter. And giving them the attention and the time that it needs is going to tax our time and our resources. It will cost you. It will cost you things you like. It will cost you things that you have persuaded yourself you need. I love how that works. That the things that we never had and then all of a sudden have become an absolute necessity, right? Like this thing. How long ago did we not have these? I remember when I was first married and I went out on pastoral calls going and visiting people in their houses, my wife had no idea where I was and no idea when I was coming home. And that was okay, because that's just how things were. Then we got these, and now they are absolutely a necessity. And in fact, it is hard to put it down and not have it in your hand sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you lose this thing or forget it at home, you feel like, I can't live. I mean, what can I do without my phone, right? It is an absolute necessity. But is it? I mean, if God said, don't have this, would you give it up? And now, would you really give it up? I mean, it's nice in church to say, oh, yes, Pastor, I would certainly give it up if God said so. Safe. God's not going to ask. Okay, but seriously, what if God asks you to give up something precious? Are you going to be okay with that? Because there's more precious things than a phone even today. What is his will? What is he trying to do? And what are you resisting? What is he asking of you right now today that you are resisting because it's going to cost too much? Be honest and think about that. This is a really serious question. Because if we put our will before his, we are worshiping ourselves. This is not a good place to be in life. You know, the question is, can I worship myself and stay Christian? Well, the answer is, for a while. Persist in it, and you'll walk away. Because you'll be complete in yourself, you won't need him anymore. I've got my own ideas of what's going to happen. I know how I want things to work out. Don't need God anymore. Folks, a lot of times pastors get in trouble because they talk about money. I want you to think about this. If somebody gets upset with the pastor because the pastor's talking about money, what is that revealing about the person who's upset? The pastor's job is to reveal God's will to you. If you're angry because you're coming into conflict with God's will, what does that mean about your will? Are you submitting yourself to him? Or are you clinging to your own desires? Thing is this, God is actually calling us to a better life than one of selfishness, one of self-worship. He wants better things for us. He has called you out of darkness to be a light in this world. He has made you his ambassadors to be his people, his hands and feet throughout the world. The thing is this, if we are shining with God's light, you know that whole part about the light of the body and the thing is this, it's not saying what is the that the eyes are not, what he's not saying in this verse is that the eyes are lighting up inside your body. That's not it. What he's showing is he's saying the light, whatever is inside your body comes out. And the question is, what is inside? Is it a Christian who is selflessly living in a way that is living out the desires of our Father in heaven? Or are we living selfishly? If our job is to be salt and light in the world, but we are clinging to darkness inside us, how effective can we be? To understand how important it is to submit to the will of God. Not to get saved. You know this. but because we're saved. Not in order to be worthy of salvation, but because we know for certain that our Savior has rescued us from sin, death, and the devil, and that eternal life is certain for us, we want to live our lives to bring in a way that brings praise and glory to His name. Understand that's expensive. It costs. Don't shy away from the cost. Don't miss out on what God is doing. Don't miss the opportunity to be an active participant in His kingdom. Be generous, love, give your time. Love the people God has given you with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because loving them is loving God. And do this willingly. And if you struggle with the willing part, that too you can bring to the Lord in prayer. Because the Spirit, He's active in our lives, and God tells us that He always says yes when people pray for wisdom. Test Him. See if He won't. And you know, this is the weirdest thing, this giving thing. It's the one time that Jesus says, test me. See if I don't do it. Go ahead, give me what you have, and see if I don't bless your socks off. You think your checkbook's bigger than His? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What are you going to give Him? Except yourself. Which is what worship is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, You're an amazing God. And Lord, You continue to work with people like us, people who are stubborn, people who see things our own way, people who don't want to listen all the time, and You continue to love us through it all. Lord, I pray that You would continue to help us to submit our will to Yours. Help us, Lord, to worship You with every facet of our life. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to let go of our own desires so that we can cling to You and to the things that You desire. All these things we pray in Your name. Amen.
My soul.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of
Please stand as we confess our faith using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to ask Tanya and Steve to come forward. Okay, this is going to take a little story. First of all, Tanya has been the director of our preschool for years now. She's an incredible servant and a wonderful heart, so good at taking care of the children and loving on the, not just the children, but loving on the parents as well. And she's leaving us. Every once in a while, I disagree with God, just so you know. But no, but Tanya, God provided her husband a job in Iowa, and she is going to go there to be with him, which I guess is appropriate. Anyway, so no, we're really, really happy for her and all that God is going to do with her in the future. But we're going to miss her. And so we just want to thank you so much, and we want to pray for you before you go. But first, Steve has a gift for you.
Just a little token of our gratitude from St. Mark's. It's a clock that has an engraving on it, and as things go, the engraving wasn't done, so it's a picture of a clock. That's an engraving. But I just had a Bible verse I wanted to read today, and everyone, I think, knows. I had to write it down in big print because of my eyes. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But that's the King James Version. The New International Version is, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn away from it. And I thought that was fitting today. As director of our early childhood program, I went back and looked. There's been over 1,000 children come through early childhood and start on their faith through your administration and skills as a teacher at St. Mark's. And that's an amazing gift of stewardship and faith for all the children and hundreds of families that you've touched. And we just wanted to thank you for that.
So. It's been a blessing.
Let's pray for Tanya. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for sending Tanya to work among us, Lord. And thank you for the incredible blessing that she has been to so many children, to her staff, to the church. Lord, you have just been, you are truly the giver of all good gifts. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with Tanya, Lord, as she walks into the next chapter of her life. Lord, I pray that you as always would guide her, that you would give her, Lord, all that she needs. That you would be the God that provides, Lord, direction, provides resources, provides everything, Lord, so that she can continue to serve you. Thank you for the faith that she has. Help her, Lord, to share that faith. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tanya. Thank you. Thanks, Steve. All right. And then... then we have a Veterans Day video that we're going to watch next. It's so fun seeing pictures of us when we were young. it's hilarious. All right, my friends, let us come before our God and Father in prayer. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you are our God, that you are our Lord, that you are the one that guides us and leads us and gives us all that we need to get through this life, Lord, just as soldiers, Lord, listen to the voice of their commander, Lord, regardless of the cost, and do what is necessary to get the job done, Lord. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to have that same mind and that same heart, that we would follow you, Lord, that we would do what you say, even if it costs us. Because, Lord, the fight is worth it, and your will, Lord, is the only thing that really matters. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, here at St. Mark's. Help us to follow you with all our hearts so that, Lord, we can be your hands and feet in this world to bring peace, Lord, between you and the people, Lord, that you've surrounded us with. And as well as just helping people with the struggles that they have in this life. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our leadership, Lord, in this case, especially those who are serving in the state government, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would be with our legislatures, that you would give them wisdom, Lord, as they consider and pass laws. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom so that your people can be governed, Lord, in a way that it brings glory and honor to you and health and security to them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those, who are serving us in the armed forces today. Lord, I pray that you would continue to reach out to each of them, Lord, that you would send people to continue to encourage them in their faith or bring them to faith so that they, Lord, can have the peace of that only you can give. Lord, I pray that you would bless, Lord, these Operation Christmas Child boxes, Lord, that we are packing, Lord. And Lord, every single one of those boxes is going to end up in the hands of a child, Lord, who needs you. Lord, I pray that you would bless those children. Help them, Lord, to listen to the words of their missionary, and that they would, Lord, receive the work of the Spirit so that they also can be brought to faith. And Lord, I pray that you'd also be with Becky Sprick, who fell this weekend, Lord, and hurt her arm. I pray, Lord, that you would bring her comfort and peace as she waits for the medical attention that she needs. Lord, I pray that her injury would heal quickly. Lord, all these things we pray, bringing all of our hearts to you so that, Lord, you can be glorified. All this we pray, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Glorious, God, you are the most glorious.
The children learned today that I give them good things because I love them. Well, I learned it from someone. Our God gives us good things because he loves us. And one of the amazing things he gives us is this meal. And through this meal, he gives us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, which is exactly what we need as his people. We need the forgiveness. We need the strength. And we need to know that he will cling to us until the day that we are in his presence forever. And so as all of these things are promised by him, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen.
Spoke it to be. You were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out. We join them as we sing. Glory to God.
Please be seated. All right, there's a lot going on around here. Start with a baptism. We have the Thanksgiving baskets being put together after the service. So if anybody would like to stick around and help build the baskets, you're more than welcome. In fact, we kind of need some people to do that. We've got everything lined up in the back there. What else we got going on today? We have the last of the communion training lessons is happening today for our young people. Let's see. We also have, wrong page, sorry. The Women's Bible Study is meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Just a reminder for people who want to come. Thanksgiving baskets are going to be built in the back after the service. There's going to be a family Thanksgiving pizza and bingo night on the November 13th from 6 to 7:15 in the gym. And please, you can see in the bulletin how to RSVP so we know how many people are coming. Operation Christmas Child boxes are due this week. If you could bring them in by Thursday, that would be absolutely amazing. Life Sunday is going to be this coming Sunday. We celebrate Life Sunday when it's convenient for us. It just kind of works better for us here at St. Mark's. And so Pastor Dar is going to be doing the message on Life Sunday for us. And so that's coming up this weekend. Veterans Day is Tuesday, November 11th. And the school kids and staff invite anybody who's a veteran who would like to come in for the children, basically, so that they can thank us for our service and stuff. And let's face it, it's not about us. It's all about the kids and what they need. So we just do this stuff. Because I know everybody's kind of squeamish about taking glory on that kind of thing. Also, family meeting for officers for the Board of Elders and the Board of Directors is November 23rd. And it's going to be right after the service during Bible study hour. Is there anything else? Oh, yeah, there is one more thing. And she won't let me forget, so that's good. Jill, if you'd come forward. Jill is our fearless leader for Operation Barnabas, which is our ministry to service members. And she has a few things to say today. She always has a few things to say, but no.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, it's fine.
Thank you, Pastor. Sure. Well, I'm so happy to see so many of my family here. This is fun. And I'm still a little choked up over those veterans pictures. I had to admit it. Since I have become a vintage lady, there are many of those who know me and have heard me say, somewhere in this dilapidated body beats the heart of a 15-year-old cheerleader. So today I am, and for less several years, cheering for Jesus and for our military. Would you come on up, Rick, please? Today I have invited in the pastors, Rick Hingson, who has a business here in Eureka. He's the owner of Eureka Contracting and Roofing, and he is the veterans chair for the Eureka Elks Club, with whom we have partnered to do our welcome home kits and with their food pantry. Before Rick speaks to us about something specific, I just wanted to mention a couple of things to you. You know that I'm always begging for Barnabas bucks, and today is no different, only today there is a more intense focus on that. I don't know how many of you are aware that our active military are not being paid right now. We actually, I mean, there is no paycheck. Thanksgiving and the holidays are coming, and there actually is a family who's associated with us, who's on our Barnabas team, who the husband and wife are both active military, and they have a baby. And so rather than waiting until Christmas to do our gift cards, I would like to send our gift cards to the active military members of Barnabas as soon as possible and make them as generous as we can. So the monies that we'll be collecting today will be going toward those gift cards, Amazon cards, so no matter where they're deployed, they can get what they need. Also, we're collecting for our Barnabas team so that we can share with Rick and the Elks in their welcome home kit and food pantry. So please keep me up to date on addresses, current addresses, and for any new members, if you know someone or someone's related to you, and you would like for them to be on our Barnabas team, we pray for them every day, every day. So having said that, when you get ready to leave, please look for Phil Richardson, who is in his uniform today, God bless you, Phil, and Gavin, his son, who will be helping me collect for our Barnabas buckets. And so I'd like for Rick to come forward. If you'll come up here, Rick, please. Our school is getting ready to kick off. I talked to Principal Megan this week. The collection for gift bags for veterans. We did that last year. I think I told you about that. It was so successful, we're going to do it again this year. And Rick wants to talk to you about those for just a sec. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Jill. Thank you, everybody, for having me here today. And thanks to all the veterans, my fellow veterans. My name is Rick Hankson. I'm the veterans chairman for the Eureka Pacific Lodge 2644. I'm also a Navy veteran and the owner of Eureka Contracting and Roofing. Last year, your group gave us a whole bunch of bags of goodies to give to the troops. Let me back up a little. We hand out these welcome home kits. You've probably seen the form out front. It's about $300 worth of household items to get somebody that just came off the street or just had a rough time. Once the VA gets them into an apartment or in the housing, we step in and give them this welcome home kit. And it contains everything you would need to start up. Along with that kit, we started a veterans food pantry. And with that food pantry, we collect about $65 worth of non-perishable food, and we give that to the veteran as well. And we buy him a bed. We buy him a bed, we set it up, we make the bed for him. With that food, that bag that your kids gave us last year, we included that in all the boxes of the food that we gave to these veterans. I told Jill we had this big Marine, he'd fill a doorway. Tears, thank you, thank you, thank you. He was just so excited to get that from you. And I really appreciate that a lot. But what we do is what we're doing, I tell all my folks in my Veterans Committee that we are making a difference. You know, we're making a difference with these people, and with your generosity, that helps us as well. With some of the funds that you've supplied us, we've helped purchase these kits, purchase the food pantry as well. Our food pantry is all member-driven. It's all all donations. All the money that comes in there is money that's donated from members and people that want to give. But we appreciate that very much. The veterans appreciate that. Like I've told Jill a couple of different times, you know, when we walk in, these folks have nothing. They're sitting on the floor. There's no TV, nothing on the wall, nothing in the refrigerator. But when we leave, they have a little bit of peace. So I thank you very much. I thank you for your generosity and for your donations. And thank you for all the veterans and the active duty as well. Thank you very much.
Well, Rick, thank you. Appreciate that. He pretty much said it all right there. I just wanted to add one quick thing. When the kids make up these gift bags and they do all the begging for the donations, and then they fix up a fancy bag, and we're not talking lunch bag. These are gift bags. And they write a little note in it for the veteran and say, we're praying for you. Thank you for keeping us safe. And our country free. It's a sweet note that they put inside there, and I think even more than the goodies, that's what touches those veterans. So I love you, St. Mark's family. You are so faithful, so generous, and listening to God as we serve these veterans and these military members. So there's that heart beating again. Thanks.
All right. With that, I think we're done with you guys now. that's a lot. There is so much going on around here.
And cupcakes.
Okay, we got cupcakes. Very good. Yes. So folks, listen. God has blessed us, and we have so many ministries, so many things to do, so many directions we're going, and it seems like all at once. So we've got the Operation Christmas Child boxes. We've got the Thanksgiving stuff. We're already looking forward to Christmas. There's so many things going on. Just thank God. Thank God for the opportunity to serve him and to serve the people that he has given us to love. And we thank you, and thank God for you. All right, so I will be in the back to greet you after the service today. God's blessings on your week.